Thank you very much, my brethren. What a joy it is to be here again on this beautiful morning and to enjoy the fellowship of the Lord and the Lord's people. Helen and I have so enjoyed this week. She may be a little more than I. She's still in the shuffleboard tournament. We'll be playing this morning. I thought a very gracious offer was made to me earlier today. They offered to let me be the scorekeeper. Lest we be accused of a conflict of interest, I have gratefully declined. But it has been a joy just to be with the Lord's people and to enjoy fellowshipping together. I guess one of the things that I often enjoy is as I stand at the door and friends share with me verses or experiences relative to the message of the morning or the evening. And yesterday, as our brother Monroe Detweiler was going out, he shared with me a verse that had meant a great deal to him in a particular situation of life, a dangerous period of time. And it was the second epistle of Peter, chapter 2, and verse 9. If you recall yesterday morning's meditation, we considered deliverance, how the Lord delivers us. So I'm going to add this verse to my verses on this subject, which says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of testing, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly." And we thank our God for that knowledge. Then our brother Arnold Reynolds shared with me a verse. I'd mention 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." And our brother Arnold gave me that verse in the French rendering, and I like it. This is what it says: "And unload unto him all your worries, for he himself takes care of you." Isn't that nice? Unload unto him all your worries, for he himself takes care of you. What a wonderful God we have. And we thank and praise him for his loving, tender, and merciful care. Now, as we've looked together at these first two verses of Psalm 18, we began by thinking of the statement of David, "I will love thee, O Lord. I will love thee." Then we considered the fact that David realized his strength came from the Lord. The Lord was his stable rock, the rock of stability and sustenance. Then he had found security in the fortress that was his, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we noted that he could say he was my deliverer, my salvation. And then yesterday as well, we thought of our superior God. David says he's my God. So with that very brief review, now let's read our two verses and we'll conclude this brief study in this very, very precious psalm. Psalm 18:1. "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower." We've noted in our studies that as we look together, it is some 9 times that David has used the personal pronoun, "my." He is my rock, fortress, and so on. And this morning, we come to the precious fact that the Lord is my strength. Notice it in verse 2. "The Lord is my strength, in whom I will trust." Remember back in our opening study, why we considered that word or that phrase in verse 1. "The Lord is my strength." But you'll notice there's something different about it in verse 2, isn't there? Why? "The Lord is my strength, in whom I will trust. Something new has been added. David had proven the goodness, the power of this, and the strength of the Lord in the various situations of life. Not only, beloved, had he proven, but he had testified to them when he wrote in the 27th and in verse 1, "The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And David, having placed his confidence in his God and appreciating that his God was a God of strength, could say rightfully, "Now I will put my trust in the God who is my strength." I don't know about you, but I know about the man who stands before you. I believe it. I believe it with all of my heart that the Lord is my strength. But tragically, there are times when I fail to trust and appreciate that in his goodness and sovereignty, he will bring me through the situation because he is the God of strength. May you and I then know more of trusting him and with complete and utter confidence resting on what he has done for us and said he will do for us. Again, we draw from the words of the psalmist when in the 46th and in verse 1, he says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble." A very present help in time of trouble. And whatever that trouble or that concern might be, beloved, may you and I know what it is to place our faith and our trust in him. Might be this morning that you're going through that kind of an experience. You wonder just when you will ever see the light at the end of the tunnel. Just whenever you will see and realize that God has brought you through that problem or that situation. Yet how thankful we are that as we trust in him, and as David has said, why, he's our refuge, our strength, and he is a very present help in the time of trouble. Right now, today, even while we have been here at Park of the Palms, how enjoyable it has been to hear the Lord's people rehearse the goodness of God to them. As time after time, we have learned of the ways in which God has abundantly blessed his needy people. We're thankful, are we not, that our God is still on the throne. And as we were considering last night from Peter's first epistle, chapter 1, the people of God who were going through such oppression were encouraged to go to their Father, who was compassionate, understanding, one who was approachable in every respect. And so we rejoice this morning that our God is a God of strength, and we will trust in him. But notice as well in verse 2, he says, "Not only is he my strength in whom I will trust, he is my buckler." My buckler. Now, a buckler was a small, round, protecting shield. It was about 18 inches in diameter. It was a shield that the infantrymen wore on their arm as they went into battle. And if a man was right-handed, then he used his buckler on his left hand. And he carried his sword in his right hand. And the members of the light infantry and the officers all carried a buckler. There were other means of defense as well, of course. There was the large, full body shield that often the men who came up behind would wear as they went in to do the cleanup and so on. But the infantry, the men who wanted to move forward for God and accomplish exploits for God and Israel, why, they had the buckler on their arm and a sword in their hand, and they moved forward. And David says, as a man of action, he says, why? The Lord is my buckler. And when David went into battle, he went into battle with that protection on his arm. And as a result, he then would be able to stave off the onslaughts of the enemy. And when the blows of the enemy came, and when the sword or the dagger, whatever it might be, that the enemy was about to plunge into David, why, the buckler would go up. The buckler would move that weapon out of his direction. So he wanted to move forward for God and to do exploits for God. Dear child of God, how wonderful to know that the Lord in this day is our buckler, and we will move forward with him. I love the words in 1 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 18, for it is there we read of the buckler's use, and you'll enjoy them, I'm sure. Listen, the sons of Reuben and the Gadites and half the tribe of Manasseh, of valiant men, able to bear the buckler, pardon me, and the sword, and to shoot victoriously, because they put their trust in him. They were men of the buckler, and men of the sword, and men who were going to accomplish things for God. And they moved forward for him, not only with a buckler in their arm, but the trusting God in their heart. And things were accomplished for him. Beloved, I think that you and I are living in days when we need to use more frequently the buckler. Who is the buckler? Well, David tells us. He says, the Lord is my buckler. And on his arm, he went forward, and the Lord was his defense. May you and I then, dear child of God, as we live in this day, when sin is so rampant, may we know what it is to move forward for him, realizing and appreciating that our beloved Lord, as our buckler, took the blows at Calvary. When the blows fell thick and heavy and fast, why? He took them for the likes of you and of me. It was there that he accomplished victory on the middle cross of Calvary this morning, because of salvation wrought through the atoning work of Christ. Salvation is ours. But we need to be protected today. And he says, in effect, now look, I want to be your buckler. I took the blows at Calvary. And there can be no blow that will fall upon you like fell upon me. Now, use me as your protection. Let me be the buckler. Wear it and use it and move forward for God. And as you do, God will richly and abundantly bless you. As I have said, we are living in days when the enemy has made a special target of the people of God, and particularly those who would seek to live for God. We learned some time ago of a city in our province, where the Church of Satan was praying for the downfall of godly men. And beloved, it is happening. It's happening. And each of us need to wear the buckler. David says, my Lord is my buckler. I like his words in the 91st Psalm, when in verse 4 he says, his truth shall be my shield and my buckler. Beloved, if he's going to be our shield and our buckler, if the words of truth are to be used in that way, and we appreciate the promise, don't we? Then we must make his words and his presence ever close to our hearts and to our lives. And so he says then, his truth shall be my shield and my buckler. What a promise. You see, the buckler was an article of warfare that was used for the offense, to move forward for God. And our divine buckler longs that we take him into the battle against the enemy. And as we do, to take with us the Word of God, that the Hebrew writer could say. And 4 verse 12, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Dear child of God, with a buckler on this arm and the sword of the word of God in this, the child of God moves forward for his beloved Lord. Oh, that today we might know what it is to saturate ourselves in this holy book. And as this book guides, motivates, and directs our lives, and as we move forward for him, then will things be accomplished for the honor and the glory of our beloved and our adorable Lord. But notice what else the psalmist says. He says, he's my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation. The horn of my salvation. You've seen, I'm certain, the swords and the helmet of the ancient. And often, on the helmet of an ancient warrior, there was a horn. It was a symbol of power, no doubt taken from the animal creation. Those that had horns and used them in battle, used them to bring their enemies low. David says, why, the Lord is the horn of my salvation. David was confident and rejoiced in this precious truth. You see, the horn was indicative of power and of strength. See the animal as it gets down close to the ground. The horn is outstretched almost in a horizontal position as it begins to move toward the object that it seeks to bring low. Now David said, as I go into battle, the Lord is the horn of my salvation. He is the one who will bring me through. So the Lord would be his defender, his Lord would be his protector, his Lord would be the one who would go with him into the thick of the battle. Regardless of the intensity of the assault, David had the confidence that his God was with him. Know, dear child of God, that you and I might know the same as we fellowship with our Lord and as we enjoy his fellowship, we will go forward knowing that he is the horn of our salvation. The horn was that symbol of power. And dear child of God, there is no power greater than the power of our beloved Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that power is available for you and for me as we enjoy fellowship with God. God, said David in his 62nd Psalm in verse 11, God hath spoken once, yea, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. God has the power, and that power is readily available for you and for me as we live in precious, close fellowship with him. I know a dear brother in Christ, one I deeply and dearly love. Over the past 18 months, he has come through some very difficult times. And we have tried to encourage him and pray with him and help him in every way possible. But there is one tragic fact. My friend is not walking as close to the Lord as he should be. And if he wants to know the power that comes from his God, who is the horn of his salvation, he must be close to him, that in turn he might see the power of God displayed in its fullness. That power of which the apostle spoke and said, the power that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul knew that power. He preached it with power, and souls were blessed, and saints were refreshed. And we thank our God, dear child of God, for the power that is available through him. And consequently, indwelling his people to be used for his glory. I've often enjoyed Ephesians chapter 1. I mentioned that last or the other evening. And within that very precious chapter, the 19th and the 20th verses are verses to encourage your heart and mind. This is the way the Amplified renders it, and I like it. Enjoy it as I read. And so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and unsurpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly place. What power? That power for you and for me, the power that brought again from the dead our beloved Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. So, David says, the Lord is my strength. He is my fortress, my rock, my deliverer, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation. And finally, he says, he is my high power. My high power. Yesterday morning, we considered him as the rock. The immovable rock, the cleft rock, in which the believer finds his protection, his care, and his love. But now, it's the shelter of the high tower. In the days that David went out to conflict, the tower was an important part of battle. They, of course, did not have the sophisticated means of intelligence that we enjoy and have today. So they depended on the tower and a watchman on that tower. You remember that as Ezekiel wrote, he said, as the watchman was on the tower, he was to sound the warning note. And if he saw the enemy coming and he failed to warn and to alert the people of Israel, why, the word of God says, his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Now David says, the Lord is my high tower. The tower was often located on an elevated part of the terrain, possibly on a mountain. And there it stood. And from that vantage point, the watchman could see the distant land. And he could see when the enemy was about to approach. And when it did, the trumpet note was sounded, and the armies of Israel were placed upon alert. He could look out for the approach of the enemy. Now, says David, he is my strong, he is my high tower to protect from the enemy. Dear child of God, I'm thankful this morning that my Lord is my high tower. And he warns me of impending danger that's approaching. He alerts me in his word through him working on my mind and in my heart and life. He warns me of dangers that are coming, that in turn I might take a position and attack that will place me as an individual outside the attack of the enemy. To flee into his high tower. To get into the cleft of the rock for safety. And when temptation comes, as temptations will, how wonderful to know that the Lord is the high tower. He is my tower. And in him I do rejoice. I'm encouraged to seek protection and shelter in that high tower. In my weakness and in yours, we are absolutely no match for Satan, the archenemy of our soul. But beloved, as we flee to the high tower, as we go off to the rock, there is safety in abundance for the likes of you and the likes of me. The wise man in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10 put it this way. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. Oh, thank God that still the high tower is ever in operation. And we run into it and we are safe. There are some things that we should notice about the high tower. Those who ran into it in ancient times realized their need. Sadly, there are times in our Christian experience when we think we can handle things on our own, and we fail to place them in the hands of an Almighty God. We fail to get behind the buckler, and the arrows of Satan bring us down, and we meet with defeat. Oh, dear child of God, we must then realize that we need the help and the protection, the alarming note of the high tower. And as we do, then will we be saved. We cannot do it on our own. But then, as far as that high tower was concerned, the people of Israel and the armies of Israel had to be close enough to it to hear the warning note, that in turn they might prepare themselves for battle. Tragically, the people of God, going their own wayward, wanton way, get away from the Lord at times, to the point where they fail to hear the warning note. Beloved child of God, it means that you and I must stay close and be within hearing distance of the tower. And what a rich privilege we have as we take time to be in the presence of God, crying to God for the needs that exist within the family of God, as well as our own family, to cry to God to meet those needs. When the warning note is sounded, as often as it is, to hear it clearly, and then to be made all the more aware and put in all the more haste to take ourselves into the safety of the high tower. Then I notice as well that this high tower, it was exactly that. It was high. It had the vantage point as the watchman looked out over the terrain. But here, beloved, in this high tower, it was beyond the reach of the enemy. Dear child of God, your high tower and mine is beyond the reach of the enemy. He's in the glory. He's in the glory this morning. Be along that you and I should keep in close touch with him, that in turn we might know much of his presence. He's my high tower. The righteous run into it and are saved. May we know the joy of running into that high tower and enjoying his presence. So the first two verses of Psalm 18 have these lessons for us. May they be made precious. And dear child of God, as you and I read them and reread them, and other portions in this precious psalm, may we know the joys and the delights of the rich and many blessings that are ours in him. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. As we enjoy fellowship with him, we will appreciate again and again the manifold blessings that are ours in him. Dear child of God, when you stop to think of it, how richly blessed you will be. God has been good, hasn't he? A year ago last Christmas, our brother Gordon Rieger, in a letter, included this poem that I have enjoyed so very, very much. And it says, I've never made a fortune, and I'll never make one now. But it really doesn't matter, because I'm happy anyhow. As I go along my journey, I'm reaping better than I sowed. I'm drinking from the saucer, because the cup has overflowed. I don't have a lot of riches, and sometimes the going's rough, but while I've got friends to love me, I think I'm rich enough. I'll just thank God for the blessing that His mercy has bestowed. I'm drinking from the saucer because the cup has overflowed. If God gives me strength and courage when the way grows steep and rough, I'll not ask for other blessings. I'm already blessed enough. May I never be too busy to hear another's cry. Then I'll be drinking from the saucer because the cup has overflowed. Dear child of God, thank Him for His many, many blessings and His many, many favors. Shall we pray? Father, we thank Thee for Thy love and Thy goodness to us. We thank Thee for friends who have come so faithfully these mornings this week. We thank Thee for each one. And we just pray that the rich and abundant blessings of our great God would rest upon us. May we know the joy and the delight of fellowship with Thee as now we commit ourselves to Thee in the ever-precious and worthy name of our beloved Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shall we sing?